Hello, my friends, and welcome to another podcast, the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's the 19th of October, and I'm in Psalms 23, having a lot of fun taking my time with this most beautiful psalm about our Lord Jesus. Truly, when you insert Jesus into this psalm, as he is the good shepherd, and then you are the subject of his love, his affection, well, this just comes alive. And I think it's one of the more practical stories or psalms in the Bible because you can see this stuff playing out. You can see that you need, that the Lord is a shepherd that makes you to lack nothing you really need. He is a shepherd who cares about your spiritual diet so much so that he lays you down in easy places where you can relax. He doesn't throw more at you than you can handle. It doesn't mean we don't get deep and study. I think that's part of the maturing experience, is that we go a little deeper as we begin to discern the voice of the Spirit. But he doesn't throw us into that. It's not as if knowing him means we have to be able to discern deep spiritual truths. That's not a requirement. It can be the joy of it, but it's not the requirement. And you get still waters. You get waters you don't have to worry about that you can drink, but they don't overwhelm you. You don't drown in it. Your soul, your emotions are restored as you rest in him. He walks you up the highest mountains of your life in ways that are safe. They don't overwhelm you. They're righteous paths that he has laid out in front of us. And when you make a turn, either life, this is what we talked about yesterday, either life throws you a curveball, or you take a turn and end up in the valley of the shadow of death, know that he never led you there. Know that you're not going to stay there. You're going to get through it, and know that he won't leave you there. He'll walk you through. You don't have to fear evil in the middle of it because you have perfect love. And here's something else you can know that is the subject of today's podcast. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The fact that he is with me is why I don't have to fear anything, because he never forsakes me. This is how the Redeemer of Israel sounds in the Isaiah prophecy. Isaiah chapter 43, listen to verses 1 and 2. "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." That's a great promise that's attached to stuff like Daniel, the three Hebrew children in the lion, or in the lion's den. I'm mixing my stories. Daniel goes to the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys go into the fiery furnace. But Israel's given the same promise that even though the Hebrew boys go in, they don't even smell like smoke. They meet the fourth man in the fire. Israel's given the promise that when they go through the fire, they'll not be burned and the flame will not scorch them. But notice again, they're going through something. So Israel had that promise. I think you and I have that promise in Christ Jesus. We dealt with the fire motif in the Bible and what that looks like on a recent Tuesday study in the book of John. I want to recommend you go find Studies in John number 111, where I did a lesson titled Changed by the Fire that deals with Peter warming his hands over a charcoal fire, and then Jesus eating breakfast with Jesus over a charcoal fire, the darkness of the soul and the redemption of the soul, and how, and it's in a lot of ways, it's Peter walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But you don't have to worry because the Father's with you, the shepherd's with you. Now here's why you don't have to worry with him next to you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff are actually the same piece of equipment for a shepherd. You see that long, looks like a big walking stick, like a hiking stick, but then there's a large crook on the end of it. And the shepherd would have that rod and staff for two reasons. The rod, well, I guess you could say three. One, it did make it easier for him to navigate. Animals with four legs can navigate steep and difficult passages better than a human who only has two. So we oftentimes add a third by using a stick, or fourth in really tough situations by using two sticks. So part of it is for the shepherd's ability to move. But in this context, the rod and the staff comfort the sheep because that shepherd's, they would call it the shepherd's staff, and it had a crook at the top of it. And that crook was so that the shepherd could reach the sheep who had fallen into far off places. So say, for instance, one of the sheep falls off the path of righteousness, slides down into a ravine, slides down into the brush. You can't leave the path and go down and get that sheep and then get back out. And the sheep's powerless to get out. So you would use that crook and crook it, hook it underneath the shoulders of that sheep and then pull them up out of that space. Or that's one usage of it. And then the rod, the shaft part of that staff, could be used as a weapon. The shepherd could use it to fend off whatever was attacking by striking, by poking, and or just simply make himself a larger threat, whether it was a wolf, a bear, a lion, whatever. Now, I don't want to go to war against a lion with a stick, but it's a lot better. It's not just a stick, but it'd be a lot better to have that rod to go to war with than to have nothing at all, particularly if you're trying to protect the innocence of a lamb. Where we mess this up, I think, is when we assume that the rod is to hit the sheep. The rod could be used to bump the sheep as they struggle off the road, but you don't turn the rod on the sheep if you want the sheep to trust you. They can't think that if they approach you, you might smack them with that stick. Otherwise, why would they ever approach you? Don't view the rod and the staff as God punishing you. Know that he has a rod and a staff because you're in a wicked world. If you get into a scrape and you get into a struggle, he's got a crook that can reach down underneath your shoulders and pull you out. In other words, you're not so far away he can't reach you. And if you are attacked, the rod of God is on your side. He has your back. He protects us. That's part of what we trust out of our good shepherd. It's also why Jesus considers himself the good shepherd. Because, just like we talked about in that Peter sermon, Peter goes through that dark trial, but Peter is redeemed at the fire. What we're seeing is that no matter how far down Peter slides, Jesus can turn his good shepherd staff over and crook Peter under the shoulders and pull him back up and put him on a rock that will lead him to Pentecost, that will cause him to be the messenger of grace. And that's a redemption story we can get in. We can all get on board with. And it's exemplified there in the rod and the staff that comfort you. That's a Holy Spirit word because we have the Parakletos. We have the comforter. The rod and the staff must comfort you, not beat you. The Holy Spirit's job is not to beat you. The Holy Spirit's job is to comfort you. Trust the gentle sounds of the Holy Spirit today. We're going to do more work. There's a lot of meat here, man, on Psalms 23. We'll be into some more of it tomorrow. I'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless you.